Unclaimed property. That is our subject tonight here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We have in about twice a year or so, Linda Fisher. She is with the Unclaimed Property Department, all part of the land department out there in Bismarck. And she joins us. We talk about some of the money that could be yours. It's sitting in Bismarck, just waiting for you to claim it. And we haven't talked to Linda in some time. Linda, thank you for joining us here on KFGO.
Thanks for having us this evening, Bob.
Before we get to, I want Chris Kurzman is still here, but before we get to Chris, I want to ask you exactly now, exactly what are we talking about here as far as the process? This is money that some people have tried to, for example, look for Chris to pay, couldn't find him, so they have to give the money to you, right?
Yes. There's a state law in place since 1975 in North Dakota statute that requires business owners to do a thorough search of their books each year, and every year on November 1st, they are required to file reports with our office that would indicate to us what properties are still unclaimed in their ledgers and the addresses and personal information of those people that have not ever claimed their property. Now, mind you, it's not always that they can't find these people or don't know where they are. It's just that the property has not been claimed.
Okay.
Not all of these people, this is not a lost person's list. This is an unclaimed property list.
And in most cases, it happens to be in Chris's case here, in most cases, people have moved.
That's absolutely. That's one of the biggest reasons. They've either moved or someone has passed away. Uh-huh. Or in the age we live in with piles and piles of junk mail, I'll be the first to admit I don't scan every envelope probably the way I should either. And so things get missed. It just happens.
Very good. Now on your list in Bismarck right now, how many claimants are possible? What's your list look like? Let's put it that way.
Our list is large. We have about 72,000 names posted at the moment. They are not all North Dakota residents, but by and large, they are names of people and businesses, too, that either once lived in the state of North Dakota or currently live here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should have brought that up, too. That it could be a individual or a business. So if your business, you know, went belly up for some reason, you still may have a refund from somebody that might be coming to you.
Absolutely.
So, all right,
Chris. A lot of business properties.
Chris Kurzman is here. He joined us in our last half hour talking about the arts in Fargo-Moorhead. And while I plugged that we were going to have you on the show, I decided to go to the website and just type in his name. And son of a gun, if it wasn't there. So
surprise.
Ding, 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 ding.
So between you two here now, what's the process?
The process varies depending on the property type and the claimant. And by property type, what I mean is it depends on if it's a safe box, a tangible property, or if it's a security, or if it's a $50 property versus a $20,000 property. Process changes a little bit, but what is maintained throughout the process is that the claimant always has to provide proof that they are actually the person entitled to the funds. And so that means providing some documentation, you know, a driver's license, in some cases a social security number, proof of address or former address, as the case might be. We do require different pieces of documentation depending on the property type and the property value. And, of course, if someone is deceased and you're claiming for an estate, then there would be additional documentation required, such as personal representative papers, wills, perhaps, and certainly death certificates.
Chris,
yeah.
You saw the page. Is it easy?
Yeah. Well, you did the hardest part, which was typing my name and spelling it correctly. And that was the most difficult part. While we were chatting, Bob literally essentially Googled my name in your search box there and showed it to me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So and essentially then. It looked through. I mean, it's a former address, a place I lived in Grand Forks, former employer more than likely couldn't find me with a paycheck or like you said,
right.
Linda, maybe those are my college years. I can't claim to have ever been all that great with my mail. So it could have been lost in the mail or something.
Appreciate your candor.
Yeah. Hey, there were my college years.
Now, in Chris's case, don't mean to interrupt, but in mm-hmm. Chris's case, he is only going to have to provide a notarized piece of paper and his ID. It's going to be that simple for him because of the type of information that was received on the property. And many of our claims are very, very, very simple to process. Very simple.
Yeah, it was a very simple. All I did was put in my name and address, and I printed out a 3-page form, which KFGO was generous enough to donate to me as well.
Yeah, we'll give you the 3 pieces of paper.
Thank you, Bob.
No sweat, man.
I'm getting money, and I got some free paper out of the deal. But all I have to do here, it does say I have to provide a driver's license and then a documentation that shows my social security number.
Right.
Essentially, I'm just going to need to, grab a notary at some point in the next, and then I just send that in, and then you guys cut me a check, huh?
Correct.
Super.
Now, Linda, I have to. We brought this up before. Chris is obviously, he's got a smile from ear to ear. You can't see him, but he's going to do this. But there are some people who know that they've got stuff there and they don't do it. Why is that?
I can't say why. I know what some of the reasons we hear are. Some people don't feel it's worth it. Some people understand that it's being used, if what doesn't get claimed, I should mention, gets used to fund public education in the state of North Dakota. The interest gets used for that. Some people just say, that's a great use of it. I'd rather just leave it there instead of go through the documentation process. We actually have people who go through the documentation process and still choose to donate it to the Common Schools Trust Fund. That happens too. There are other people, I believe, think there might be tax implications. Some people literally just can't find the documentation that they need to make the claim. So there are a string of reasons. There's another one thing I should bring up. Sometimes you'll see a name on the website that might look really familiar. They've never moved there. A business, for instance, like one of the hospitals in Bismarck has unclaimed property. And we get contacted occasionally to say, what are you guys doing up there? You mean you can't find this medical facility? They've been there for 310 years. And it's not a case that we can't find them, but they might own that property with another individual as a joint claim.
Mm.
And so, those claims, those names are going to stay out there, but yet both owners are required to make those claims. Mm. A good example of that might be your house gets damaged in a hailstorm and the check gets made out to you and the bank. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. We don't know whether the bank has been paid or whether the work has been done. And so that claim requires both of those parties to make that claim. And sometimes that doesn't happen and those properties stay there. So you might see the name of the bank on the unclaimed property list over and over and over. It's just because they are a joint owner with many, many individual parties. And so there's a lot of reasons why names are on a list. And that's why I stressed early on, this is not a list of lost people.
I have to tell you, I did hear a great one the other day. Well, it was several weeks ago. But they said, I bet somebody's looking for me. They think there's some kind of conspiracy that the government is looking for them for some reason. Have you ever heard that?
We go to the state fair. We have a history of going to the state fair. And I can say without reservation that each year when I was personally at the booth at the state fair, I would get asked that question at least 2 or 3 times a year. Is this some sort of a sting operation? And the other thing I got asked was, is this a list of people who owe you money? So, no, it is not a list of people who owe us money. It is a list of people who have money in custody with the state, and we'd like for them to try to come and get it. Because our mission is to get money back to the rightful owner. That's why we're here.
And
there is no fee for this process. We don't charge an administrative fee, except for there are a few fees involved with making securities claims. But by and large, it doesn't cost a penny except the time and effort it takes to put the documentation together.
The names are there on the website. You go take a look. If your name's there, man, you're going to buy us a beer. Okay.
If I could make one more comment, I don't know how much time I have.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break here if you don't mind, Linda. And you
I don't mind.
You just hold that thought for a second, and when we come back, we'll get more info from you, okay?
All righty. I'll be here.
All right. Linda Fisher, she is from the Unclaimed Property Department in Bismarck. We have found money for Chris Kurzman. We'll tell you how you can in just a few moments. We'll give out that website, phone numbers, all kinds of other stuff as Nighttime Live continues here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We're back. This is Nighttime Live here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I see Michael Pink at the door waiting to come in and provide us with some music from 9 to 10 o'clock tonight here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. But right now we're going to go back out to Bismarck. She is working hard, actually, in the office tonight. Good for you. Linda Fisher, our special guest here on KFGO. She's with North Dakota Trust Lands, and then, of course, also under her watches, the Unclaimed Property Department, one of 50 unclaimed property departments across this country, one in every state. I'm sorry, we had to take a break. You were about to give us a point here.
My point, Bob, was just going to be quite often we get phone calls from members of the public asking about letters they receive from businesses and organizations that we call finders. And these finder letters come out saying basically, we know where there is some unclaimed property for you, and for a certain fee, we will help you get that property back. Now, I need to be very clear in stating that these are not all bad businesses. Some of them are very reputable and clearly know what they're doing. But I just want to mention to the public that if you get a letter like that, call our office first, because it may be that the property will be coming here and you can claim it here for free. So just if one of those letters comes, we don't feel that you should need to pay to claim your property. And so check with us first. And then if you decide, based on what you learned from us, that you're willing to pay the 20 or 30 or 35, 40% that they're asking, that's clearly up to that individual. But we feel that they should have all the facts before they do that.
By the way, the list on the internet is $50 or above. Do you keep lists of 50 and below somewhere else, or can they call the office, or...
Typically what happens with the below 50s is we do have a record of that. They don't get advertised in the paper and such because of the cost involved with that. But we do pay claims for values under $50. Typically what happens is someone will find an old check for under 50 and they'll say, well, you know, they'll call the company and say, well, what can we do with this? Sometimes the company will refund it, will reissue the check to them and get the money back from us, which is a simple process for business owners who are listing.
We're talking a lot about cash too, Linda, but
yes,
actually you do receive some safe deposit boxes that go on claim too, don't you?
We do get 40, 50 boxes a year typically. Not a large volume, and most often the boxes are somewhat valueless in terms of cash value. Of course, they're usually packed full of intrinsic value type things, mm-hmm. sentimental value, cards and birth certificates and those types of things.
Now, Scott and I have never found our name yet, but have you ever found yours?
I've never found my name, but I have relatives that show up there. and I won't name any names. So yes, the unclaimed property administrator has one person in the family she can't keep under control either, so...
Well, Linda, let's go through it, because I know this could be a lengthy process here as far as, I guess it isn't lengthy, because you guys have all combined into one kind of one organization as far as your search results, right?
Okay, there's a really cool website that people who have moved a lot can check. We call it one-stop shopping, and if you have a pencil ready,
yep,
or a good memory, it's unclaimed.org.
Oh, unclaimed.org, okay.
That's one. You can also get there, and this is a faster way, actually, missingmoney.com.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Yes. You can get to that list both through both of those avenues. You can also get through to that one-stop shopping location through our website, which we run out of the office here in Bismarck. One of the nice features on the local website, on the North Dakota site, and do you have that link, Bob?
I've got it up here, right here, you bet.
Okay. One of the nice features on that site is you can search by city. So because we have a lot of small towns and communities, and because we have so much of our population where everybody knows someone who knows someone who knows someone, that's a nice feature on that site. You can type in a city name and find all of the people and businesses in that city that have unclaimed property and encourage them to come get it or let them know about it. We have post offices around the state that print those out and put them up in their post office. And, you know, some people aren't real keen on that, having their name posted in the post office. That's usually a bad thing. But in some instances,
well, as long as there's another picture with it.
That goes back to that people were looking for a thing, right? But no, sometimes small town newspapers will clip those off of our site and publish them for us. Okay. And so that's just another way to get the word out. And we rely heavily on word of mouth in terms of publicity. And, of course, nice folks like you who have us on your show every now and again.
Yeah, one of these days somebody will find something for me, though, and maybe Scott as well. I have to ask you, though, because we do this each time you're on. What's the big one? What's the big enchilada there that's gone unclaimed?
You know, I hesitate to share that anymore because of potential fraud issues. But I'll tell you this. Out of the 72,000 names that we have, there are only 260 properties over $10,000.
Oh, okay.
I can also tell you that the biggest claim that we paid in 2012 was $63,000.
Okay.
And so,
well, I'm going to say this. Last time we chatted, we had one in the low six figures.
There are still a couple of those, yes.
Okay. All right.
How often,
by the way, how often do you personally search this?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm out there a lot. I do a lot of testing on the system, and I always use my last name. So if I'd be there, I'd see myself.
I think I told you the story before, but when I was really hot into this as far as trying to find money from all of my friends and relatives and such, I did go to the California one, and I was looking for people, you know, that I knew out in California. And it was just a fluke, but I saw the comptroller's name up there. The guy who runs this outfit out in California had his own name up there. And he didn't claim it, you know?
You know, it happens because anymore, a large majority of the reports come through electronically. And so when reports were getting entered manually and people were looking at those names as they went into the system, that didn't happen so much. But now that it just gets run through these electronic formats and hits the database, that does happen. And there are a number of states who run nightly queries on keyword searches, so things like that don't happen, where they will run in their keyword search every single night the word governor or comptroller or congressman, or, you know, just to keep those types of things from posting and getting them out there.
Missingmoney.com or unclaimed.org. And those are the two things. All you got to do is type in your name and your city. We've got to run. Thank you so much, Linda Fisher from the Department of Land Trust in North Dakota and the Unclaimed Property Department. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bob.
KFGO Fargo, 9 o'clock. Money.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A California wildfire exploded today.